Get started. All right, I think we're able to start. Okay, we are beginning to be Perek Gimel of Beitza. You know, the on Yontif you're allowed to do Ochel Nefesh, and every two or three dafim or so, the Rishonim raise that same question: is what the parameters of Ochel Nefesh are, and when the Torah permits you to do malacha for food, how far does that go? Which malachos, and what conditions, and what circumstances? And that comes up every few dafim or so. Well, it comes up here again. The beginning of the parak is Ein Sarim Dagim in Abibarim. You know, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go fishing, despite it being a day of rest. You're not allowed to decide to take off and go fishing. That'll be an Eser Min HaTorah to go fishing on Shabbos. On Yontif, you're also not allowed to go fishing. But that's not clear whether that'll be an Eser D'Oraisa or an Eser D'Rabbanan to just go out there and go fishing. Because on the one hand, it's Ochel Nefesh. So you're going fishing not just for sport, but also for food, if you're going to eat what you catch. But on the other hand, but Seida is, as we see here from this Mishnah, is not one of the permissible malachos on Yontif. But that prohibition, like it says here in the Mishnah, Ein Sarim Dagim, you're not allowed to go and go catch fish. Maybe an Issa D'Oraisa, may only be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So it's unclear. In any case, the Ran here in the back gives you a nice overview, again, of these different opinions. So this Mishnah says you're not allowed to catch fish, but it doesn't talk about from the streams and the rivers and the open water. It's talking about even from a pond that you have on your property where you keep fish. You're also not allowed to catch fish from such ponds. Ein sarim dagim in a biber in biyantif, even if it's from a biber that you have. Certainly you're not allowed to catch fish from the open water. And a second rule is that you're not either allowed to feed those fish. Now, feeding the fish is another question about why can't you feed these fish. So in general, we have a policy that you're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos that are not your responsibility, that are not dependent upon you. Wild animals, the birds, but your own pets and your own animals around the farm, they're your responsibility, so you are allowed and presumably required to feed them even on Shabbos and on Yontif. This Mishnah says you're not allowed to feed the fish. You're not allowed to feed the fish. So why aren't you allowed to feed the fish is a little bit unclear. Rashi says there's nothing different about this. This is the same thing as the Shabbos also. It's because the fish don't depend upon you for their food. They just catch their own food even when they're living in a pond. And Tosfos say that's not what's going on here at all. What's going on here is that this is a separate gzeira derabanan, that you're not allowed to feed the fish because of a fear that you're going to catch the fish. That's only relevant on Yontif. That wouldn't even apply in Shabbos. On Shabbos, this wouldn't be an issur, because in Shabbos, there isn't any possibility of catching the fish. It's only that on Yontif, because it's a prohibition to catch these fish, they also forbade you from feeding the fish. So that's all machlokas.
Rashi, think it was for Ochel Nefesh.
That what?
You might think it was mutter because it's Ochel Nefesh.
Well, that's a different thing. Rashi also says that even if malacha is involved, then Rashi says it's the same thing going on over here. And Tosfos say that nobody's talking about malacha. This is just about just throwing food into the fish, and it's not about malacha even. And Tosfos say they still forbid you just from throwing in fish flakes into the food. Right, that's related to the tashlich question. Yeah, it's related to the Tashlich question. Tashlich happens on Yontif, on Rosh Hashanah, where this prohibition would certainly be in effect. It's not even Shabbos. So yeah, you're not allowed to feed. Now, question about whether you can, what if it's not a pond, but it's a fish tank? That's all machlokas in the Achronim in the Shulchan Aruch, is about whether if, you know, from the open water to the pond to the tank, maybe a tank is better, and maybe you're allowed to catch fresh fish from a tank, and maybe you're not allowed. And Shulchan Aruch has all machlokas about whether this prohibition would even go even as far as tanks.
Well, Rashi says you can't catch it because you couldn't catch it before you have to.
Right. Rashi has a remarkable limitation on the din of ochel nefesh from the Torah, which is that even though the Torah permits you to do malacha for the sake of your food, your meals, that's only true about malachos that you couldn't just as easily have done before Yontif. But if you could have done these malachos before Yontif, then you don't get an ochel nefesh d'oraisa permission to do the malacha on Yontif itself. And Rashi understands Tzeda being an example of this. And the other Rishonim don't believe that's true. What?
He says you could have kept the fish alive in a tank and then taken it out, right? On Yontif. So from the tank, he seems to say it's okay.
Okay. That could be.
Because people did used to keep them in a barrel or in the bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Okay, so in any case, let's actually get started here. We're still in the wrong daf. Ein sadim dagim in a bibrim beyantif. You're not allowed to catch fish on yantif, even from the pond. Ve'yanosnim lufnehim mezonos. You're not either allowed to feed these fish. Aval sadim chaya ve'of min a bibrim ve'yanosnim lufnehim mezonos. But chaya, which are the wild animals that somehow or other you got a hold of and that you have them trapped in your corral, and of, and birds that are somehow also on your property in a coop or something. So you are allowed to go catch them. Then you're allowed to feed them. And Tosa say that because it's the same rule. If you're allowed to catch them, you're allowed to feed them. If you're not allowed to catch them, then they forbade you from feeding them. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, hold on, you can't just categorically say that not those and yes those. Lo kol habibrim shavim, not every bibber situation is the same, and therefore you have to have a different guideline. Zeha klal, here's the policy. Kol hamechusar tzeda asur v'sheinam chusar tzeda mutar. The policy is that you have to avoid tzeda. Tzeda means trapping, confining animals, and if the animal is already confined, then that's it. Then it's already confined, then you can take it. And if it's not yet confined, it's still treated as still loose, then you're not allowed to trap it and confine it on Yontif, and that's the policy. And therefore, the question is only if I have a certain animal under a certain condition where he's sort of confined in this corral, so then you have to determine, is this a small enough corral where I could easily get a hold of the animal, or is it too big and the animal is still essentially kind of free? And so you have to make a determination whether it's in a state of being nitzod or if it's in a state of being not yet nitzod. That's the policy. But the policy is that even if you have animals on your property, it may or may not be okay to go and take them because they may still have a status of still out there in the wild until you then go and capture them. Or it may not, or it may be confined well enough that you can easily get a hold of it and therefore it's not free, it's a already confined animal. The Gemara is going to go through guidelines as to how to determine those states. The Gemara says, V'raminu. Gemara says, I have a problem with this Mishnah. This Mishnah says fish are forbidden, but other animals, like the wild animals, the Mishnah doesn't deal with behemoths. Behemoths are presumed to be trapped because they're domesticated animals. They just live on the farm, so you can get a behemoth anytime you want. And so that's subject to the earlier halacha that you have to go, and before Yontif, you have to identify which ones you want to eat. But that chayefa of are normally wild animals. So when you're confining them, then they are in a kind of an unnatural condition of being trapped. So that's where it says that in the Mishnah, it says, okay, so if you confine the chaya or the oaf, then you can, and those you're allowed to grab on Yontif, but not fish. So the Gemara here has a problem. The Viramina, there's a steer because there are brises that say the other way around. Not even the other way around, just says that distinction is not really valid. V'raminu, biberin shel chai v'shel ofos. There's a braisa, Tosefta, the Masoras HaShas identifies there as a Tosefta in Shabbos, here in Beitza, says that a biberim shel chai v'shel ofos ain't sadim ahem b'yantif, not allowed to take chayas or ofos from a biber on Yontif, the biber being a corral. V'ein osnim lefnei hamizonos, you're not allowed to feed them. So So that's the opposite of what it says in the Mishnah. Mishnah says that you are allowed. Chaya v'yof, you are allowed. And this Braisa says you're not allowed. Gemara says, kasha chaya, chaya. There's a contradiction between whether chayas are allowed and kasha ofos ofos. And whether ofos are allowed. A contradiction. Mishnah says mutter and the Braisa says aser. Gemara says, well, we can at least attack the stira about the chayas. Bishlama chaya achaya lo kasha, because we do already know from other places that there's a machlokas hatanayim about chayas. Bishlama chaya achaya lo kasha harav Yehuda harabanan disnan, because there's a Mishnah in Shabbos where there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda harabanan about the following, which connect. You'll see what it says over here, which will connect to and inform our question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. His Bryson Shabbos says that Rabbi Yudamir had tzad tzipor le migdal or tzvi le bayis chayiv. This is talking about the other direction, where it started out as genuinely wild and free. It roamed into your property and you want to shut the door and trap it and confine it. Question is, if it's still in a large enough space, then your trapping it is not really trapping it, and therefore that would be okay. But if it's too small a space, then that would be considered trapping on that end, in which case then subsequently it's already trapped. And then for yontif purposes, if the animal were in such confined conditions, then that would be considered trapped already, and then you could go and grab it on yontif. So these are, remember, this is now about Shabbos, and this is where it started at wild. It roamed into this, into your property, into a space where you want to shut the door and trap it. So here's what it says. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the tzipor, if this is a bird that flew into a migdal, which is the migdal is a small space, or a tzvi, or a deer, or a gazelle, some other wild animal that just roams into your house, or into a, presumably a barn, then chayiv. Then if you shut the door to confine it, then you're chayiv, you're guilty of doing the meleches tzeda, because that's considered now trapped. So that's considered trapped under the conditions of a, if it's a tzipor, if it's a migdal, meaning if the bird that we're talking about, then it has to be a really small space, like a migdal. It's like a kind of a relatively big box or something. Or a tzvi lebayis, or a tzvi would be considered trapped if it's in a house. But the implication being lebayis hu demechayv avali biberin lo, and it's only because this tzvi roamed into your house. But if the tzvi just roamed into your corral and you closed the gate of the corral and that's all you did, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that's pater. V'chachamim omrim tzipor lemigdal. The chachamim have a different standard for the bird. They don't have any disagreement, but the tzvi, well, even if it's an agina or a chatzar or a biberin, would be chayiv. So we know that there's a machlokas, what the status of a chaya that's located in a biber is. Is that considered confined? Now that's relevant for Shabbos in the direction of, if it was started out wild and it roamed into my biber and I closed the door, the machlokas to Rabbi Yehuda v'chachamim. But that, the implications are, the logic is that therefore, and that will also have the reverse implications for Yantif. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, where a biber is still considered wild and free, then I can't go and take that such an animal in such a condition on Yantif. And that's what the Braisa must be saying. But the Mishnah must be saying that that's mutter, because that must be the Chachamim's opinion. So that's the way the Gemara reconciles the Braisa and the Mishnah with respect to Chaya. Or that's at least a suggestion. Then the Gemara says, but Ofos remain a problem. Because Ofos, Ofos, Kasha. Because both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, with respect to a bird, using the word tzipor and oaf interchangeably, the bird is only considered confined when it's in a migdal. But if it's in the bayis, no. Certainly a biber, no. And so the Mishnah that says that birds are considered already confined, the Braisa which says that they're not confined, and you can't turn this into a machlokes atanoim, because we don't know of any machlokes atanoim about the question of what's the standard of trapping for birds. The Gemara says, well, ofos ofos, ela ofos ofos akasha. Gemara says, v'chitema anami lo kasha habibibir mekura habibibir b'sheina mekura. The Gemara says, well, maybe it has to do with what kind of a biber are we talking about? Are we talking about an open or a closed biber? This probably means something to farmers or to bird trappers or something, but in our world, I don't know. I don't even know how you could really be successful as a bird person if you're... Okay, so in any case...
I've had a bird fly into my warehouse or something. If I wanted a bird flew into the garage, if I wanted to shut the garage because I wanted to shut the garage, but the bird's in there, that means I'm trapping it, really, when I shut it.
Right, that,
you may
be allowed to do that, because that happens to not be really the case that's being described over here. This is talking about where that was your point, your plan, your intention, and that was your purpose. If that's an incidental effect of what your real purpose is, then that's called nimtza, that the oaf is there. Nimtza, the oaf is there, and Mishnah says that seems to be okay, but the Rishonah of Machlokas about if I'm aware of it beforehand and I close it, and incidental is Machlokas of Rishonah. I think we're making on that, incidentally, that you'd be allowed to. In any case, Amarevi, it says here, what about the birds? The Rishonim says, well, maybe it has to do with are we talking about an enclosed biba, or where it's more likely to be confined, or an open one? It's not. Mara says, nah, that doesn't work, because why isn't that a possible resolution here? Gemara says because veha bias the kabibir mikura dami because they both agree that a bias only a migdal is considered confined for a bird, but a bias would be considered not confined, free. So even though it's mikura, bias is the kabibir mikura dami.
Yeah, get out the window or whatever.
Well, maybe because of windows. Right, because it's just a large enough space that you can't grab the thing easily. So it still has it still has a certain amount of freedom. Mara says that a bias is not considered trapping the bird, because the bird can still get out of your grasp easily or out of your reach easily. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna suggests, here's the answer. Hacha b'tzipor d'rora skinen. It may not be about different structures, but we are talking about different birds. Some birds, that they're easier to grab when they're confined. And some birds, even when they're in the house, you still can't get them. No. When it says in that Mishnah and that Braisa, where it says about birds, even if they're inside, that you still can't get them and they're still considered free, that's because if it's a tzipor dror, I don't really know what the tzipor dror is. It just describes a tzipor dror as some kind of a bird that's really hard to grab, and it'll still be successfully evasive, even if it's inside the house. So then, such a bird, you can't even get it, even if it's inside. Ena mekabelas marus. It doesn't accept its submission. It doesn't submit easily. And so therefore it remains kind of free and hard to capture even inside. So something like that, you wouldn't be allowed to grab such a bird even when it's inside the beaver. That must be what the Bryce is talking about. But regular birds like, I guess, I don't know,
chickens
or quail or something, I guess, would be likely to grab it. But, I don't know what I'm talking about. But those are the standards that it describes here in the Gemara.
Bigger birds are easier to catch.
Okay. Like the bigger birds may be easier. Yeah. All right. The Tana de Berabi Shema, Lamanik Rashma, Tzipor, Dirar, Shadar, Babayas, Kibisada. Because the Braisa says, you know why the Tzipor Dror is called a Tzipor Dror? Dror means free. I think. Anyway, it doesn't say that. It says that it's called Tzipor Dror because Dar Bebayis Kibisada. Because it's Dar, Dror means it can live in double. It's a double Dror. Dror is like it lives in double environments. It could live just as at home in a house. And it doesn't acknowledge that it's trapped, and it still considers itself free, and it acts that way, I guess.
Birds flying around inside Home Depot.
Yeah, and you probably can't easily get a hold of those birds either. They get out of your reach, and they'll stay out of the reach, and if you walk over to them, you won't be able to get near them. Yeah. Anyway, the Gemara says, "Hashadas is lucky." Hold on a second. Once you're prepared to open the possibility that we're talking about different kinds of animals between the Bryce and the Mishnah, Then let's back out of what we suggested earlier as the resolution, that it's a machlokas ha-tanayim, and let's keep it as not a machlokas ha-tanayim, which would be better, but say it's talking about a different kind of animal. That we had earlier, astira, why does the Braisa say not allowed to grab the chaya, but the Mishnah says you are? Talking about different chayas, lokasha, habibibir, no, not different chayas, different cases. Lokasha, habibibir, katan, habibibir, gadol. That was what we would have said on our own, I think, that if we had to resolve a steer, we would have said, well, we're talking about different size corral, a big corral, little corral, how easy can you grab the thing? So that's what it says over here, habibibir, gadol. In the Braisa, it says, we're talking about it's a large space. And the Mishnah is somewhere in a small space. So if you, on Yant, if you want to go and shecht the chaya v'yof in a small space, then if the case is that it's easy to get, so then mutter. If it's not, then not. Echidami biber katan. How do you determine if a biber is a biber katan and it's easy to get? Echidami. And echidami biber gadol. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi gives you four suggestions here. Amar Ravashi. Anytime you try to actually grab the animal, and you can do it in one attempt, right? One trial, one swoop. So then that's clearly confined. That's a biber katan. The idach biber gadol. And if otherwise, he would be a biber gadol. Inami, he says, oh, alternatively, kalecha de ika ukti ukti biber gadol. The idach biber katan. Or if there are little places where it can go to hide, and that'll be considered biber gadol. But otherwise, it'll be a biber katan. Inami, or alternatively, kolecha denafli tula dekosli ahadadi biber katan v'idach biber gadol. Or alternatively, maybe if let's say we're talking about if it's a small enough space that the shadows that are cast from the one wall reach the other side, then that'll be small. Biber katan, otherwise biber gadol. Tosafot to say that, of course, it doesn't mean anything unless you have standard size walls for the bibers. Otherwise, doesn't say anything. Okay, so in any case, that's two dots. That's where the Gemara ends up. Is that it depends? If you're talking, what are the circumstances? If it's a small space, then the chaya would be considered, the chaya of Yofar are considered confined, in which case then you'd on Yantif be allowed to shkita is allowed on Yantif, even if Tzeda is not. Because you aren't doing tzeda when you go and grab the animal from that condition. It's already considered confined, captured, trapped. It's already trapped. Okay, that's what it says so far. We're going to discover that in another few lines, somehow or other, the question gets reopened and gets guided in a different way. Two dots. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon Gamliel Amir, lo kol habibrim shavim. So remember, the Mishnah ends with Rav Shimon Gamliel's a remark about how you're going to have to determine everything individually. You're going to have to see, well, what's the case? What kind of a berber are we talking about? And if it's the right kind, then mutter. If it's the wrong kind, usher. And how do you know? He says, if it's mechusar tzeda. Well, that happened to have been presumably what we were assuming all along already. And that's what we had. The Braisa says it's not allowed if it's the kind where you have to do a lot of work to trap it still. The Mishnah says mutter if it's easy to get a hold of it. That was pretty much following Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's advice anyway. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yosef quotes that Rav says that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda, who says that he heard from Shmuel, all these Amorayim. Say, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to him, nobody argued. And nobody was arguing about that. Why did you have to make a pronouncement? We paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. He was bothered by this. This bothered Abaye. Abaye didn't like having to be told to paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel if nobody was disputing Rav Shimon Gamliel. Everybody was agreeing that that's true. Halacha mechlal de pligi. So he was angry at somebody. He might have been angry only at Rav Yosef, but it looks like Rav Yosef wasn't the problem. He was quoting Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, who's a first generation Amora. Who's saying we pass Rav Shimon Gamliel? Okay, I don't know. Abaye didn't like it. Amalei, my nafka lachmina. What's your problem? What's the difference to you that I say that we pass Rav Shimon Gamliel? And the fact that you tell me nobody argues, so good. So definitely we're passing Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's great. That's easier even. Amalei, So Abaye says back to him something somewhat sarcastic. I don't really exactly know what he was saying, but here's what he said. He says, Amar lei gemara gemor, zemurta tehei. Exactly what this means, I don't know. It means what are you playing games here? Is this a joke that you're just going to say, we pass in Shem Gamliel, when there isn't really a matter that needed to be resolved? And so he complained to, I'm not sure, it looks like he was attacking Shmuel. By having originally had to express this psak. Does anybody have here anything better in the art scroll about what this expression means? Rashi says it's just a silly expression. It means what? Are you just supposed to, you tell somebody, just say the words. They don't mean anything, just say the words.
Without like delving into it, without like understanding any reasoning behind
it. Yeah, so that bothered
about
it.
Without me having to learn about it. Because if I have to learn about
okay.
it, then you learn. Just tell me the answer.
Right, so it's more like you're just saying something, and if you understood it, you wouldn't say this.
I think it's saying that we should just silly. Want to go ahead and learn into it. So don't just give me the answer. Without going back and forth between the whole reasons why.
Oh, so maybe he said that. Okay, maybe he was telling him, you know, there must be something more to it. Don't just tell me this without being able to explain why you have to say. Maybe that. Okay, maybe that. Two dots. And then what did Shem Gamliel say? He said that it all depends, everything is situational, and that the guiding principle is, if it's mechusar tzedev, the animal still has to be kind of... Yeah, you have to still go after it in order to get it, then it's usher. But if it's ainam chusr tzeda, then mutter. The Gemara says, well, how do you know? Eichidami. Now, Rashi and Tosfos kind of deal with the fact that I thought we just asked and answered that question three lines ago. That was the same question, is how do you know? So, and then we don't even give that answer. Eichidami chusr tzeda, Amar Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Huda, Amar Shmuel. Same people. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol She'omer. Anytime the person, like the farmer, the owner, would have to say, Havei Mitsuda, V'natsudenu. Go bring the net, or bring the trap, or bring the thing, so that we could grab the animal. That's called, it needs still to be trapped. You can't just go over and reach it and grab it. If you have to bring the net, or bring the lasso, or whatever the thing is that you're going to use to go grab the thing, grab the animal, so then that's called enum, that's called mechusar tzeida. So that's what Rashi and Tosfos say. Rashi just says, well, yeah, okay, it's going to amount to the same thing as earlier, and don't be stressed about this, and these are all giving you the same criteria. And it happens to be, Shulchan Aruch really pretty much follows that. It doesn't even bother giving any of the earlier criteria, because this one is a great criterion all by itself, and it's a good guide, and it even works for, it'll tell you the animal type and the strut and the corral type and the size. Everything is all covered by this nice guideline here, that if you still need to take a net or something to go and get the animal. Amar li Abaye. Abaye said to him, well, I don't think that works. Abaye used to give them a hard time, apparently. Amalei Abaye, Yeveha, Avazim, Vitarnegolim.
He wants to open it up for discussion.
Okay, he wants that. Or maybe he actually owned these things and it mattered a lot more. Okay, Amalei Abaye, Yeveha, Avazim, Vitarnegolim. But hold on a minute. But what about, let's say, roosters or Avazim?
Geese.
She Omrim Have Mitsuda Venatsudanu. Which you are going to have to grab, you know, take a net to catch them. V'tanya, but it says them in the Braisa, nevertheless, Hatzad Avazim V'tarnegolim V'yona Yardisos Pater. But nevertheless, it says that if you have, let's say, Tarnegol, Avaz, and you trap them, Pater, that's not a violation of Tzeda, which means that they are already trapped, even as is, even though you do need the net to capture it. So the problem is that it's inconsistent. That here you need the net, but we're considering it good, trapped enough for these purposes that we don't consider it wild. Using that same equation, that if going from total wild to confined, either you've done seida, in which case then a yantif should be mutter, or you haven't yet done seida, In which case, you're not allowed to do it on yad. You're not allowed to grab that such an animal on yad, but you're not going to be guilty of tzeda if you just confined it into that condition itself. So over here, we're seeing this inconsistency. That we're being told that if you take the wild animal and you just confine it to the extent where it's now like in confined in the coop, then that's putter, but you still need a net to go grab the thing if you want to actually take it. So I'm a Rabbi Barav and I'm a Shmuel. Rabbi Barav and I'm a Shmuel says, well, you know, these are different animal types. This kind of an animal, halalu boyin lekluvon le'erev. Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's not easy to grab them, but their habits are such that you can sometimes easily grab them. Namely, that in the evening, when they come back and roost, then they're just going to be easy to grab. So they always come back to their kluv, to their little nest area. The halalu, but other birds, ain boyin lekluv and le'erev, and that's where you get the definition, that's where you get the guideline about if you need a net, then that's considered still wild. Mar says, but v'harayone shova, v'yone aliyah deboin lekluv and le'erev. But these kinds of pigeon birds or dove type birds, where they also come back to roost. V'tanya hatzad yone shova, v'yone aliyah v'tziparm shekinet v'tafichin v'biros chayev. But this other brisa says that these yonim are considered confined just by having them stay confined to the kluv, to the shovach. So it's supposed to be inconsistent with this somehow, even though same kind of a thing. It says sometimes they should be easy to grab because they come to the kluv b'erev. Amar elo amar rabba barav and amar shmoel. Okay, well, here's what it means. Halal boin lekluv and le'erev umizona sehen alecha. The halal boin lekluv and le'erev ein mizona sehen alecha. Okay, slightly different, slightly modified criterion. That these birds, like the avazim and the tarnagolim, they not only do they come home, but you also have to feed them, and that's why it's mutter. That's why they're considered trapped, because they really are more tame, easier to grab. And the Gemara says, well, remember Omar hani avidi lerabuye v'hani lo avidi lerabuye. At first, remember, he says something that is unintelligible. He says, well, hold on a minute, but these guys, avidi lerabuye, these guys will come back and roost and breed or something. But other birds are not. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Kulhu nami avidi lerabuye. They all do. The Gemara says, well, no. What Mary meant was lekluva and kuamrina de avidi lerabuye. Okay, so they're not. It's not only about coming back to roost to eat, but also it's to mate, I think. Okay, in any case, this presumably was informative for people who are involved in this field, in this line of work, and this was a useful guidelines. As far as what's useful to us is that whenever you have the animal that is easily grabbable, then that's considered confined and trapped, and if it's not, then it's not. And you are not allowed to do tzeda on yantif, and okay, and if it is nitzod, if the animal is nitzod, you are allowed to take it and shecht it on yantif. Mishnah says, mitzudos chayev yofi dagim shasam erev yantif. Let's say you set a trap before yantif, not right before yantif, but way before yantif, at some time earlier, and then it traps the animal. So here's what's being presumed here in the Mishnah. You know, the animal, in order for you to be allowed to eat it on yantif, it has to be muchan, can't be muktza. And muktza and muchan is a state that has to be identified at the tchilas hayom, at the beginning of yantif. So at the tchilas hayom, if an animal was already trapped, confined, then it's muchan. Then that animal is available for you to shecht on yantif. If it's still wild, but it becomes trapped during yantif, then that's muktza. Then it's not available for you to eat, even if you have easy access to it now, and the time you come to take it, but b'tchilas hayom, it was muktza. So you wouldn't be allowed to eat this. So what happens if you don't know? That's going to be the issue over here in this next sugya. So it says here, if I set the trap beforehand, and I'm not sure when it was sprung, so here's what it says. If mitzudos chayev yof edogim she'asan me'erev yomtuf lo yitol mehem b'yantuf elim kain, unless yodeya she'nitzodim me'erev yomtuf. Unless you know that this animal was already trapped before Yontif began. And once upon a time it happened that a goy brings these fish to Rabban Gamliel on Yontif. The Omar and Rabban Gamliel said, Lutarim heim, I could take them, Velish Ein Ritzoni Lukabel Himenu, but I don't want to. That's supposed to be informative about something. So the Gemara is going to clarify what that story is demonstrating. In any case, the Gemara says, hold on a second, Maisa Lestor. Hold on a minute. How does that story work? It doesn't flow. The first line of the Mishnah says that you're not allowed, you have to assume the worst. That if you don't know for sure that these animals were already confined by the Tchilas Hayom, then you have to assume that it's Muktza. And now a goy comes and brings you a gift, and you don't know what happened there, you don't know when he got these foods, whatever, and it could be that they were, that this was an animal, this was fish or something that was caught on Yontif itself. And so why does Rabban Gamliel say it's Mutter? Maisel is store. This story seems to contradict the ruling of the Mishnah. Where it says, well, that's true. Just like virtually all Mishnayos, they sound good on the surface, but they don't really work. When you think about them, almost all Mishnayos are kind of codes, and you have to just, you really need the Torah Sheba'al Peh of the Amoraim to make sense out of these Mishnayos. This is an example of that. Is that this Mishnah, it doesn't read straight. The Gemara says, no, here's what's going on. What you don't realize is that the point of the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, is clearly saying, Safek Muchan is Aser. Rabban Gamliel Matir. But you don't realize that Rabban Gamliel holds against that, and he holds that really Safek Muchan is Mutter. Umayisanami bin Afri Yechad. And this is what's demonstrated in the story. Shehevi Dagim Li Rabban Gamliel, he brought fish to Rabban Gamliel. The Amar Mutar in Hainer, Gamliel said, well, I don't know when he caught these fish, and even if he caught them today, I wouldn't be allowed to take them, but I don't know what he did. So I'm allowed to take the fish. Elish Ein Ritzoni Lekabel Himenu. I just don't happen to like this guy, Rashi says. So I don't want to take the, I don't want to take him. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now, that was how we clarified what was going on in the Mishnah. Let's see what the Amoraim say is the Psak Halacha here about this machlokes, about Safek Muchan. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Halach Rabban Gamliel. So, the Amoraim paskin against Rabban Gamliel, they paskin like the Tanakama, Lechumra, that Safek Muchan is Aser. Safek Muchan is Aser. Why should Safek Muchan be Aser? What's the Iser of Muchan? Is it the Raisa or is it the Rabbanan? If Muchan, if the need for Hachana is the Raisa, so then Savik Muchan would be a Sveg the Raisa. But we probably hold that Savik Muchan should have been a Sveg the Rabbanan. This should only be in a Rabbanan case. So really it should be Aser. So I mean really it should be Mutter, Savik the Rabbanan Lakula. So the most of the Rishonim that work on this issue assume that Sveg the Rabbanan should have been Mutter, but not when the Iser is a Yesh L'Matirin. Because if you just wait till after Yontif, then you won't have to get involved in questions of Muchan Muktzah or anything. So just wait. So whenever it's a Iser Drabbanan Sheyesh L'Matirin, you don't say Sveiku L'Hakel, you say Sveiku L'Hachmer. That was what was going on in Daf Dalet earlier in the Masechta. So in any case, that's the way the Amoraim are paskening here. Ein Al Karban Gamliel, Ika the Masni Lo'aha. There are other versions and other yeshivas. They learned this psak about Safek Muchan, not from this Mishnah and its analysis, but from other brises where it's clearer. Namely, what? Ahad Asanya says in the brisa, Safek Muchan, Rabban Gamliel Matir, and it's Rabbi Yeshua now who's identified, our Mishnah is Tanakama. Rabbi Yeshua is identified as being the Tana who's Machmir. Oser, Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Karabi Hoshua. Okay, so this is another yeshivas. They learned that this psak from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel was just from that brisa. The Ika and another yeshivas, they even learned this from a different brisa, which also was going to say the same thing. Ahadisanya says in the brisa, and this one is a long brisa. Shach minha nagar in the yantif avaloman areshtos uminha mechmoros. The Tanakama here says that if you have some animals that are in the Nagar, or then you're allowed to take them. That's Rashi says is shochtim chayos min habibrim. Okay, because they're already confined. The yantav avolom min hareshtos umin hamechmoros, but not from the reshes or the mechmoros, which are kind of individual traps that may be sprung during yantav itself. It's because it's avig muchan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, well, if ba'u mitzan mekulkalin meyarev yom tov biyadua shemeyarev yom tov nitzodu umutarin. Look, if let's say you set up the trap, and before yantav starts, you see that the trap was, looks like there was, the area was messed up, and so it looks like that indicates that they may have been sprung already even before yantav. So then biyadua, then you can assume that that's true, that that's what happened, and then such animals are mutter. But if it's bi yom tov, then asr. But if you come on yom tov, it's on mikul kolam bi yom tov, but if you only see that the area looks like there was activity there on yom tov, then you have to assume that it happened on yom tov, and it's, and the animal will be asr. Mar says, hold on a second, is something wrong with the with what was just said? Why do you have to determine for sure that it was done Erev Yantav for it to be mutter, and then discover that the next line of the Braisa says that if you discover for sure it was on Yantav, then it's Aser? What about the Suffolk case? What's the Suffolk case going to be like? Is that going to be assumed to be mutter or going to be assumed to be Aser? Mar says, Agufa Kasha. There's something wrong with the way this Braisa is being said. Rav Shimon Elazar only described two Vadai cases but didn't tell you the Suffolk. Amrit Abam Mitzan Mikul Kalim Erev Yantav. Look, at first he says that if you see that it was that the area was messed up on Erev Yom Tov Biyadua, then you can assume that May Erev Yom Tov Nitzodu Taima Debam Mitzan Mikul Kalim. That's only going to be mutter then, it sounds like, if you can confirm that it was the animal was trapped on Erev Yantav. But Hasfek Asurin, that the implication would be Savig Zaser. But then Amos Seifa. But then, look, let me tell you the Seifa. B'amitzan mekul kalim b'yantif. The Seifa says that if I discover that this was happening on yantif, then b'yadua she b'yantif nitzodu. And then that presumably means, but if I don't know, is mutter. Taima de b'amitzan mekul kalim asfeka me'erev yantif nitzodu mutarin. The Gemara says, okay, well, hafi kamar. And the Gemara just touches up the Braisa so as to be machmir. Hachi kuamar, ba mitzan mekul kalim mei erev yantif, fine. Biyadua shem erev yantif nitzoru mutarim. Hasveka, but if you don't know, then it's tantamount to and identical to if you determine that it happened only on yantif itself, and then it'll be asur. Nasa kimish nitzoru biyantif yasurim. And amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, and now we get Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel saying on this whole braisa, Halacha Kribshem ben Elazar. So we really have, at this point, three sources from the Tanoim that all have they all deal with the question of Safek Muchan, and they all say against Rabbi Gamliel, who is Mekel, we all hold Lahachmir on this. And that's the Psak. Safek Muchan is going to be Yasser. But look what we're going to be unsure about. What Iser is it? Is it an Iser to eat the food, or is it a Tiltil Asser also that it's going to be Muktzah even to handle the food? Let's take a look. Rabbi Gamliel himself was matir. So it says, V'yamar mutarim heim, mutarim lemai. What did Rabbi Gamliel allow you to do? He says, the guy, you know, the goy brought over the fish, and he says, I really could, they're really mutar. So the Gemara says, mutar to do what with them? Mutarim lemai. Rav, amar mutarim lekabel. Rav says, there was no question about eating these fish. The question is, like, can you take it, and can you handle it? Is it mutar betiltul? And Levi, Amar Mutarim Biyachila. And Levi says, no. When Rabbi Gamliel allowed you to take them, he meant it was your lot to even eat them. Now, let's listen to the following story. Amar Rav. Okay, this is a Machlokes Rav against Levi. Who are Rav and Levi? These are first generation Amoraim. And you're going to discover that these are actually first generation Amoraim who actually met, knew, and learned from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi himself. So Rav says, and remember, they're having a machlokas about what the Mishnah meant when Rabbi Gamliel said mutter. Rav says, you know, you see what you learn from the story. Rav says, li'olam al yimna adam atzmai beis ha-medrash. really you should always go to the shiur. Always listen to the Rebbe. Why? Afilu shachas, never stay away, even one shah. The Anna of Levi, because both Levi and I were in the same class, and we both were in the same shiur at the time that Rebbe taught us these Mishnayos. Havinan kame de Rebbe ki amr lohashmaita beurta. But when he taught us this in the nighttime shiur, amar mutar biachila, he said what Levi said, which was he said that Rav Gamliel meant you're allowed to eat them, but in the morning when he chazered the shiur, amar mutar lekabel. But Anna de Havoy be Midrasha, but I was in the shiur, and I heard Rebbe reverse himself. Levi wasn't there. Lo hava be Midrasha, lo hader be. So Levi didn't realize that Rebbe changed his interpretation. It's not clear to me. It's a great story, I guess, but it's not clear to me exactly what happened there. Shmuel went and taught this, and somehow it got coded that way in between the nighttime and the morning time. This was afterwards. Rav told Levi this, and Levi didn't believe him and never found out. What exactly happened here? Did Levi never know that Rebbe changed his mind on this? Okay, I don't really know what happened. I don't know methodologically what happened that Levi is on the books here holding a thing where Rav is telling us Rebbe changed his interpretation of Gamliel's Shita. Levi didn't somehow build that in. I don't know. Anyway, that was what Rav and Levi had machlokas, and Rav holds that because I was at the shiur, I know the truth is that Rav and Gamliel only allowed you to take it, but not to eat it. And that and the other Tanoim Lechumra presumably are even asering Tiltil. The Gemara has here Meisave. Something is wrong. Nachri Shehevi Doran LeYisrael. Afilu Dagim Mefulamim. There's a brisa that says the following. Let's say a goy brings a gift of food to a Yisrael. Afilu Dagim Mefulamim and Paris Bnei Yoman. Mutarim. The brisa says even if they're like fresh, wet fish, so clearly just pulled right out of the water now, presumably, and Paris Bnei Yoman, and today's Paros. Plucked today, it seems. This is what it seems from the brisa. Mutarim. So that this is obviously within, this Bryce is within Rav Gamliel Shita, but he's saying that it's mutarim. Bishlam al-mandir mutarim lekabel shapir. So if you're going to say that all he permitted was to take, I understand. But el al-mandir amr mutarim liachila, Rav Gamliel even allowed you to eat these things? How could that possibly be true in this case? Peres b'nei yoman misharu biachila. If you know that these peres are plucked from the tree today, how would Rav Gamliel allow you to eat them? They're obviously mukta, and they obviously didn't have any hachana. They're obviously off limits, and it couldn't be. It's not possible. The Gemara says, well, it's equally impossible that such peres would be allowed to be handled betiltol, because if you know that they came off the tree, all Rabbi Gamliel ever said was only if it's a suffix. But the case in this brisa looks like it's, you can tell that it's today's. And if everybody would agree that if you know that it was plucked today, it's going to be mukta even for handling. So there's something wrong anyway with the brisa. Well, the time off. This kasha is not a kasha only for me. L'daimach, Peres ben ayoman misharu b'tiltol. Ella, you have to say the whole brisa isn't talking about known to be from today. Ella b'kavri the adimi. When we said that these are fresh fish, it means relatively fresh. Peri de kavishi b'yarkoskina. We're not talking about fresh today's fruit. We're talking about relatively fresh fruit. V'yamai karulei ben ayoman. So then why were they called today? It says in the brisa, today's fruit. Shein kein b'nei yoman. Okay, they were like almost like today. In any case, once that's the case, then it doesn't prove anything in that brisa, because it means it wasn't necessarily today's, and it wasn't even a suffix of it. Amar Rav Papa, now we get to the following. Rav Papa, in seeming disregard for anything that has happened until now, gives you the following detailed instructions about what happens in cases where you are presented with food that was brought to you on Yanta from a goy, where there is a bit of a question about what its status is. So here's what Rav Papa says. And we're always fortunate when you get one of these Hilchus summaries, because it gives you actually, bottom line, real psak halacha on the matter. And it's two separate issues that have to be dealt with. So here's what he says. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchus, here's the psak. Nachri shehevi doron liYisrael beYomtov. A guy brings food to a Yisrael on Yomtov. Im yesh meyosu hamin b'mechuber. If this is the kind of food that is still growing, in which case there's a suffix whether he plucked the food today, then asur. Then of course that's going to be asur. Of course, it's a little vague, but asur to do what with it? To handle the food or to eat the food? And the Shulchan Aruch says it's asur to even handle the food. Because we're holding safek muchan is asur. Uli erev nami, asur b'kadesha yayasu. And when does it become mutter? It only becomes mutter, like all other kinds of Shabbos, of rules of Shabbos, where a goy does a malacha for Yisrael, and you're not allowed to be nehene from the malacha. It's always, when does that Isser end? It doesn't end right after Shabbos is over. It ends only b'kadesha yayasu. It's only going to be asur after the interval of time that you could have, from that time after Shabbos on, have accomplished that same result. So there's a lag. That's applicable here also, it says. And then the Rishonim have a hard time trying to figure out in their individual cases, how do you measure Kadesha Yayasu in these kinds of situations. But in any case, but what happens if that's not the issue? The issue isn't, you know, that this is a food that may have been plucked today. In Eina Yosu Hamin B'Mechubar, but if we're talking about something else, I don't know, somewhere that isn't the question. Some other kind of a food, though. Toch HaTchum Mutter. If there's a Tchum problem now, so if the goy brings the food, but it was all within the Tchum, so then there is nothing wrong. No potential problems with that. Even though you don't have access to this food, you might have argued that this is Muktzah in the sense that you don't know this food exists. As far as you're concerned, this isn't available to you. So when you get it, you might have thought it's Muktzah on those grounds, but nope. That's not true. That's mutter. That's muchan. Toch ha-tchum mutter. But chutz l'tchum, but if the guy had to bring the food from chutz l'tchum, then asur, but this isur is limited. V'haba b'shul Yisrael zeh mutter l'Yisrael acher. It's asur because he brought the food from outside of the tchum, so it's an isur. It's unclear exactly again. Isur tiltel, isur achila. We're going to assume it's isur tiltel. And it's limited only to the Yisrael who was given the food as a gift. But are the Yisraelim mutter? Rashi and Tosfos, so interesting here. This Rashi, this Tosfos, they really are. Rashi has this, unfortunately, Rashi has a great little essay here on what happens on Yontif Sheni. Rashi says, I think that on Yontif Sheni it should be mutter. If this happened on Yontif Rishon, and it's a two-day Yontif, and now the question is, what's the status tonight and tomorrow? I think it's mutter. And Rashi says, I never had a chance to ask my Rebbe about this. We were always lenient, but when after my Rebbe died, I heard that my other Rebbe was machmir about this. And I confronted my Rebbe about this, Rebbe Yitzchak, and he told me l'chumra, but I said, but why? And all he can quote me was one thing, I think it's wrong, and he wasn't able to be persuasive, and I don't think he's right. And I recently discovered that Rabbeinu Gershom holds like me, and I recently discovered a letter from Reb Klonimus. This Reb Klonimus, it was a historical character, we don't really know much about this Reb Klonimus, but he was one of the legendary four captives in the story of, if there was a time when the Jewish community shifted from Bavel to Europe and to North Africa. That whole shift happened somewhat suddenly, and it gave rise to a kind of a story, may have been an apocryphal story, a legend, may have been historical, about a time when four great leaders were transplanted to Europe and North Africa, one of them being this Clonimus, this Reb Clonimus. And so Rashi says over here, I even heard this Reb Clonimus, Shebaki b'chol hashas, Rashi says in the bottom line, who paskin like me, so I'm going to stick to my shita, he writes. Then this is only going to be mutter, it's only going to be asra and yantif rish and yantif shin. The second interesting thing is that in this last psak, whereas the Gemara, or Papa is machalik between the Easter for the Yisrael Zeh versus the Yisrael Acher, Rashi says, you know, lo shamati tam akubel b'dar, I'm not really sure I understand what the Easter is and why the heter. And he goes into different possibilities, but he ends up saying that, well, because the whole Isser that was violated was Tchum, so there are some leniencies here that make it unique, and that not similar to other similar situations of where a guy violates what would be for a Jew an Iser in order to obtain something for you, and then that normally would be Iser for all Jews, not just for you individually, but this thing is only a targeted Iser. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. All right. Sorry, this was longer than usual.
No. Well,
did you watch?